for tonight as we study the Word of God. Lord, I thank You for revelation knowledge flowing. Lord, I ask that You would teach us more than we know about faith. Lord, help us to learn how to speak Your Word and to stand on Your Word to see the manifestation of miracles in Jesus' name. If you agree, say amen. 2 Peter chapter 1, and we are in our sixth session, and I encourage you to write this title down. We're talking about developing strong faith. Developing strong faith. And in particular, tonight's session and also next Wednesday night's session will focus on the waiting phase. And so we've been talking about the three phases of faith just quickly by way of review. And this will help you a lot just to get hold of this. If this is all you get tonight, this will help you. There is what we might call the claiming phase. That's a phrase that I've used over the years. And we've been talking a lot about the claiming phase. So when you're believing God for something, you start seeing it, saying it, and doing it. And you begin to picture it. You begin to visualize. You begin to imagine what the Word says and what God has said to you. All right, so you begin to see it, say it, do it. That's phase one. Everybody say the claiming phase.
Claiming phase.
Amen. All right, let's just jump right on over to phase three, because that's better news than phase two. Phase three is called the receiving phase. Everybody say the receiving phase. Now, here's what I find in teaching, as I've taught over the years about faith, is people get pumped up, man, about the claiming phase. I'm going to claim the Word. I'm claiming what God has shown me. I'm claiming everything that moves. And I'm believing to get to the receiving phase. The problem that I've observed is that little thing called phase two, I want you to write it down, called the waiting phase. Everybody say the waiting phase. And that's why we're going to spend two sessions on the waiting phase, because more often than not, once you begin to focus on something God's promised you in your heart, you know, by the Spirit or a Scripture that God's quickened to you, there's usually a time delay. And we talked about that in our last session, why there are such things as time delays. But we're going to break it down even further beginning in this session as what is happening during the waiting phase. How can you respond and cooperate with God? How many of you want to cooperate with God? Now, here's how most people go through the waiting phase. They're kicking and screaming every step of the way. I mean, it's just like a parent. If you've ever seen a parent trying to discipline a child at Walmart or Target, you know, and the child throws a little tantrum, so many people, it's like, God, get me out of the waiting phase. I'm ready to get to the receiving phase. God, help me hold on. It's like they dug in their claws and they're being dragged out the door every step of the way. Everybody say there's a better way. All right, with that backdrop, let's look at this passage and then we're going to break this thing down. Chapter 1, verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith. I want you to underline that phrase. Everybody say like faith.
Like faith.
Everybody say like faith.
Like faith.
Now let me tell you something. The faith you have in you is the same faith that the apostles had. Come on. It's not another kind of faith. It's not a 21st century faith. It's the apostolic Holy Ghost resurrection faith that's in you. The same faith that the apostles had a privilege of using. Guess what? He says, you've got the same faith. Well, hey, that was worth coming to church for just to hear that deal. Read on. He says, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you. Oh, Lordy, help me not to get off on that, because I'd love to just chase that little rabbit right there. How many of you know grace is something that can grow in your life? You know, people think grace is just a one-time deal. Well, you come to the cross and amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Well, I'm telling you, the sound gets louder and louder as you walk with the Lord. So he says, grace and peace be multiplied. Well, how many of you want to get multiplied in your life? I'm so glad it didn't say grace and peace be subtracted. I'm glad it didn't say grace and peace be divided. Everybody say multiplied.
Multiplied.
Amen. He says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through, and that's an important word, through. Here's how it's going to happen. Through the knowledge of God. Now, that knowledge is not a knowledge only about God. We do need that kind of knowledge, by the way. But it's a knowledge where I begin to walk with God and write this little phrase down, experiential knowledge. So, you know, there's a theory and then there's the experience of it. It's one thing to read the flight manual on how to fly. It's another thing to go out there and fly. Well, I've read that book from cover to cover. Well, how would you like to get on the next Delta flight where the guy comes on, you know, the intercom sorry, Jerry, I'm going to use this example. He's one of our Delta, he's a Delta pilot sitting right there. And have a Delta pilot come on there and say, you know, I've never flown one of these boogers, but I read the manual. Honey, there'd be a mass exodus off that airplane. I appreciate the fact he's read the manual, but I want somebody who's been in the simulator and somebody who's been in the right seat before they put him in the left seat. I want somebody who's got a knowledge that goes beyond theory. I want experiential knowledge. Amen. Now, the reason that's so important, and you're saying, get on down to the good stuff. This is good stuff. It's all finger-licking good. Amen. But the whole point is this, is I've got to walk with Jesus, and as I walk with Jesus and I trust Him, I trust Him in an area that may seem small right now. I'm trusting Jesus in an area that may seem small. But you know what? When I get that victory, that helps me to trust God for something bigger. And that's how that grace and peace multiplies, because, and you'll make some mistakes. You'll make some mistakes. I've missed it. I have just slap missed it where I thought I was hearing God, thought I was moving in the right direction. And you know what? You say, well, what do you do when you miss it? Well, you back up and go again. You back up and get a different perspective and go again. Why? God uses that. That's not the best way, but He'll use that to help you understand the difference between soul and spirit, the Word of God, and what you were hoping, you know, just in your own natural. And you learn to walk with God. Amen. Everybody say, I'm going to learn. Say, I'm going to learn you something tonight. Amen. He says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord, according... Ooh, hallelujah. Verse 3. According as His divine power, one day over yonder, will give us all things.
As already.
That was the perverted paraphrase for those of you that didn't catch that. Everybody say, hath given.
Has.
Everybody say, has.
Has.
Already done.
Already done.
Done deal.
Done deal.
Now, you got to get hold of that. Honey, you got to get hold of that. You can't be hoping God's going to heal you. You got to understand that He has healed you. See, Isaiah says, by His stripes, you know, we're going to be healed. Looking back, we can say it has been done. Isaiah says it's coming. Matthew says it's here. Peter says it's a done deal. When Jesus died on the cross, we got it. And not only healing, provision, everything we need for life and godliness. He says, according as His divine power has given unto us all things. All things. Do you believe that?
Yeah.
Do you believe God means all when He means all?
Yeah.
Well, let me tell you what the Greek there means. It means all.
No.
The original language means totality. In other words, spirit, soul, and body provision has been made. Now, a lot of people just think it's the godly side of things. He says life and godliness. So, in other words, you mean Jesus is interested in helping me get a job?
Mm-hmm.
Do you mean Jesus is interested in helping me get a relationship that's strained, worked out?
Mm-hmm.
Whatever's in life. What are you facing in life? What are the hassles you're facing in life? He says, my power can come into that area. According as His divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Here it is again. Underline it because He's mentioned it twice now. You got to walk with God. It's not just theoretical. Through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. I want everyone to say this out loud. I've been called to God's glory and His lifestyle. I've been called to God's glory and His lifestyle. Now let me tell you something. God ain't broke. God's not sick. God's not discouraged. They're not up in heaven going, man, I hope we can pull this end time thing off. You know, we wrote about it in the Bible, and I mean, things have gotten so bad down there, we better back up and see if we can really pull this end time event stuff off. God's not concerned. I have been called to live like God, and you've been called to live like God. So I've been called to walk in God's glory. That's His presence, His power, His manifested knowledge in my life. But I've also been called to live like Him, to glory and virtue. Verse 4, put a star by it. The only way you're going to get it, I said the only way. Everybody say the only way. Now don't miss this. It's one thing for me to stand here, or if Peter was here, to stand here and say, you got to grow in the knowledge of God. But how do you grow in the knowledge of God? Is it what Robbie thinks? Is it what Pastor Jason thinks? I mean, we all have different opinions about what maybe would include the knowledge of God. I'm telling you, here's how you're going to grow in the knowledge of God. Verse 4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. Praise God. So in other words, it's the promises of God that contain the provision of God. Want you to see that. It's the promises of God that contain the provision of God. Well, Brother Jason, I'm just having a hard time having faith for the finances I need. Well, what verse are you standing on? Excuse me? What verse are you standing on? Well, I don't know any verses. Well, that's why you're having a hard time having faith for provision. You need to be able to say, well, I'm standing on this verse or this passage, and here's what... I've got some knowledge based on the promises and declarations in the Word, so now my faith can rise up. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers. Everybody say partakers. Now, honey, there's a partaker and there's a spectator. I said there's a partaker and there's a spectator. So, you know, you're going through the Morrison's cafeteria. And there's one thing to walk through there and just say, it all looks really good. There's another thing to reach over there and say, I'll take one of those, put it on my plate. And I'll take one of those, put it on my plate. I'll take one of those, put it on my plate. Get down there and you say, how much do I owe you? Jesus paid the bill. Go right on into the dining hall. Hallelujah. Amen. I go in there and I don't just sit there and look at it. For an hour. Just sit there for an hour and look at it. How was your meal? It looked beautiful. How was your meal? It smelled glorious. But you know there's Christians like that. They go to church. How was it? I tell you, it just seemed like God moved in that place. It seemed like the message was anointed. Did you get over and get wet? No, I just sat that with my hands crossed, analyzing everything that was done with a critical, judgmental spirit. You old stinking, thinking thing. You're not going to get anything. You got to say, give me the fork and reach over there and get you some.
Amen.
Anybody get anything out of this?
Yeah.
Well, I'm happy. I hope you're happy. Now, don't miss this. At this point, verses 4 and 5, he begins to give us a list. He says, whereby are given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Let me give you my take on that. In other words, I don't have to go the world's way to get it done. I don't have to get corrupted in the process, step on this guy, do this guy wrong, you know, push that guy down. My God can become my source, and God can help me out without me being corrupted by the world system. Verse 5, he says, besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith. Now, don't miss this. He's getting ready to say, okay, it's not enough just to have faith in those promises. There's going to be a waiting time. I'm going to be mentioning more about this. In that waiting time, you got to make sure you add some ingredients. And he says, add to your faith, and he begins to list them here. Now, I realize we've got different translations in the auditorium, so yours might read slightly different. And I'll be honest with you, I've got a preferred reading on it. I'm reading from the King James. I don't prefer the way the King James says it. So let me just go through this list with you. He says, add to your faith virtue. I prefer the translation that says moral excellence. Virtue, moral excellence. To virtue, knowledge. Well, we've gone from knowledge to knowledge already. Look at verses 2 and 3 mention the knowledge of God. Well, we've got to have the knowledge now that comes in the waiting phase to learn to trust God. What kind of Christians would we be if everything was microwave instant, get it right now? Your character wouldn't be developed. If you don't believe me, parents, you know that's true. You don't just every time your child says, give me this, give me that, you jump. You understand. They got to learn some manners. They got to learn some patience. And sometimes they don't need it right then. Sometimes they don't need it at all. He says, add to your faith virtue, moral excellence, and knowledge. And to knowledge, temperance. Now, I'll tell you the word I prefer for temperance is self-control. Some of your versions read self-control. And to self-control, patience. I don't particularly like patience. I like the phrase steadfastness. Steadfastness. Godliness, brotherly love, kindness. Now, I'm going to give you a handout in a moment, so don't worry about getting all the little details down at this point. I'm going to give you a handout where I have pre-organized it for you. Is that a nice thing for me to do or what? I have pre-organized it for you, and you're going to get your handout in just a moment. But I want you to see the amazing declarations that the Apostle Peter gives us. He says, if you'll get these ingredients in your life, don't miss this, it's so good. If you'll get these things incorporated in your faith walk, then watch what He says. Watch what He promises. Verse 8. Skip down to verse 8. For if these things, what things? Well, the things He's just listed there. If these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall never be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Does that sound like a good deal or what? Honey, that is way beyond a Happy Meal. That is a Holy Ghost spiritual Happy Meal. And there is a prize in the box. In other words, I can live in a state where I will never be unfruitful or barren. Translation, I won't ever dry up and wither. Well, how's your walk with the Lord? Well, I'm just going through a dry spell now. No dry spells. Are you walking with the Lord? I'm just a hanging on, hoping I don't backslide. No backsliding, front sliding. We're only going forward. We're only going to go forward. Only front sliding, no backsliding. Well, is it possible, Brother Jason? Well, look at your Bible and read verse 8 again. It says, for if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Look at verse 11. Here's another part of this promise. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly unto the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In other words, if you'll get these qualities in your life, it helps you enter into what I call kingdom living. It's not just, you know, when you get to heaven He's talking about. Certainly that is true. But kingdom living is now. That one's floating around the auditorium. I said kingdom living's now. Eternal life is not down the road. Eternal life is now. So if I get these qualities in my life, look at verse 11, an entrance. Well, what's an entrance? Well, an entrance is the way to go in. Go in. So I get these qualities in my life and I walk up to the door and the double doors open in front of me. Well, glory. But if I walk up without those qualities, the double doors don't open. How many of you want to press further into kingdom living? So verse 8 says, you'll never be barren or unfruitful. You can turn that around and say you'll always be fruitful. Look at verse 10. Back up to verse 10. At the end of verse 10. For if you do these things, you shall fall occasionally.
Never.
Is that what your Bible says?
No.
You got the fall occasionally Bible or what? It says, for if you do these things, verse 10, you shall, everybody say it, never fall. Amen. Amen. Now, what I want to do is I want to pass out, I need a couple of guys to quickly jump up and hasten and help me distribute these out. Robbie, I'll let you take that side. And fellow behind you, let them help you out there. And everybody, just pass several down the line. Everybody get one of these. And I want to go through this list with you, and then we're going to focus on starting into the waiting phase. Are you enjoying this tonight? This handout I'm giving you, I will tell you, has a lot of information on it. And I'm just going to basically break ground tonight. What's that? Okay. Let's look at this handout. Notice that there's 12 identifiable steps. But those 12 steps of faith are categorized in the three phases. Anybody else need one? Raise your hand. Anybody else need one? Now, I know you want to read everything, but just follow me quickly. Notice that the three phases of faith are listed there. The claiming phase. Everybody say the claiming phase. And there's six items identified in the claiming phase. By the way, this, and I'm saying this for the sake of the audio tape, it's on your handout, but these steps are identified in this text we've just gone through. Okay? So these aren't things I just pulled out of the air. This is right out of this text. So there's the claiming phase, and we've identified six things there. And then there is the waiting phase. Everybody say the waiting phase. And notice there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 steps there. And if you go through that process, then you get down to the receiving phase that we just read about that says abundance and fruit and an entrance into kingdom living, etc. Now let's go through this handout and let me just allude to what we just read. And again, this works regardless of what translation you may have. Yours may read slightly different. But notice under the claiming phase, let's review that quickly, is the first thing is what I would call provisional knowledge. Look at verse 3. According as the divine power has given. Everybody say has given. Now, how many of you know that you can't claim something if you don't have knowledge that it's yours? Hello? So, you know, if somebody put $1 million in your bank account, somebody say amen on that. If somebody put $1 million in your bank account but nobody ever informed you about it, you would still be working off of the balance that you had before that ever happened. And so that's why it's important to be in a Word church. That's why it's important to be in a church that teaches the Bible, teaches you to exercise your own faith. Now, you don't just, you know, brainlessly believe what the pastor says. You go to the Bible. And may I just add this? There's a lot of things in the Spirit-filled circles that are really what I would call charismatic tradition that don't have a whole lot to do with the Bible. And, you know, we like to think, well, bless God, we're not like those denominational folks that are all bound up with tradition. I want to tell you, there's a lot of charismatic folks bound up with a whole bunch of things that really aren't Bible. Well, I got two amens on that one. All right, number two, notice under the claiming phase, you go from provisional knowledge to promise knowledge. Verse 4, it says, exceeding great and precious promises. So it's one thing for me to stand up here and say, all things have been provided through Jesus Christ. That's provisional knowledge in general. But I've got to get a little bit more specific. I need some promise knowledge that applies to spirit, soul, body, and all the affairs of life that I deal with. Number three, hearing God is implied because he says, and besides this, giving all diligence, add to your what? Add to your faith, virtue, and to virtue, knowledge. Faith cometh by hearing. So I've just kind of put that one in there. You're not going to see the phrase hearing God in that text, but I think those of you that know the Word of God, faith comes by what? Hearing. So you hear God. That's basically what some refer to as rhema. It's one thing to read the Bible. It's another thing to have that passage. That's my verse. No, that's not your verse. That's my verse. Can't have that. That's my verse. And you're sitting there saying, no, that's my verse. No, I'm sorry. That's my verse. It's not just a verse in the Bible. I claim that as my verse. The Lord has breathed that into my life. Notice the next thing, step number four, is now faith. We've been through that. Again, I don't have time to repeat that. That's on another tape. But we talked about faith is always now. Faith says it's mine. I have it what? Now. Now, here's where we're getting into a couple of things a little bit different. Number five, virtue. Virtue is two basic things, and you'll see I've identified it on your handout. It's corresponding integrity and corresponding action. That's very important that you understand that. Virtue, when the Bible uses virtue, as I said, I like the phrase moral excellence. It's corresponding integrity and action. Now, we've covered the action side of things. How many of you know that once you have faith, faith without works is dead? But you also can't live like the devil and expect faith to work for you. And so there's a realm of holiness that we need to begin to yield to in our lives, not a holiness that is self-worked up, not a holiness that is me trying to please God through legalism, but it's through me yielding to the work of God in my life where I begin to cooperate with God. And when God puts His finger on an area in my life and says, you know, I want to deal with that, that's not pleasing to me, then that's part of virtue. That's part of the corresponding action where you begin to line your life up where the grace of God is not only covering your sin, the grace of God is empowering you to live above your sin. Amen. And you know, there's a lot of people that's what they mess up on right there. They've developed their faith, but eventually their life is destroyed because they did not understand moral excellence. We've even seen ministers like that way. Ministers that have had tremendous ministries, but some area in their life actually came back later and just destroyed everything that God was trying to do in their life because they didn't have that virtue. All right, number six, knowledge. I like to refer to it as the knowing. I got to know that I know that I know. I got to know that I know that I know. What do you mean by knowing, brother? I just know that I know that I know. And so before, especially something big, before I step out into something big, when I'm exercising faith, I've got provisional knowledge, all things for life and godliness. I've got the promises of God on it by the Word and by the Spirit. And I'm beginning to add corresponding action and moral excellence in my life. And I'm examining my heart to make sure there's nothing that's going to inhibit, you know, what God's trying to do. At some point, you know, I'm going to come to this area where I've got to add this step of knowledge. What is knowledge? I've got to get to the point that my faith is bigger than my doubts. I don't know how else to describe it. My faith is bigger than my doubts. Doesn't mean you'll never have a doubt. I want to be very clear about that. Doesn't mean you won't ever have a doubt. Like moving into this project next door. I will tell you, I wouldn't sign a piece of paper, a contract on something like that, unless in my heart I had reached that place of inner knowing. Where I know that I know that I know. Well, how do you know? I don't know. You're gonna have to walk through that yourself. You'll get to a point, the experience, that you'll just know that God's in that and God says do it. My faith outweighs my doubts. Do you have some doubts? Occasionally. But my faith is so much stronger than my doubt, I'm authorized to move forward. Now let's jump into the waiting phase, because I want to spend the remainder of tonight on items 7 and 8. It says temperance in the King James. Go back to your Bible and look at verse 6. And it says, and to knowledge, or what I would call the knowing, temperance or self-control. And to temperance, patience. I've preferred to translate that steadfastness. Everybody say self-control.
Self-control.
Everybody say steadfastness.
Steadfast.
Now, what I would encourage you to do on your handout is just draw a little line under number 8, item 8, because that's as far as we're going to go tonight. I want to spend the time on self-control and steadfastness. All right, I'm in the waiting phase. Let me just use the building as an example, okay? I believe God told me to start this church, pioneer this church. Martha and I were in agreement on it. And here we are moving forward and believing God. Then we get into something called the waiting phase. Did you know that I actually tried to get permission to move into this office complex a year before we ever moved in? And I was turned down. Did you know that? Some of you knew that because you've been at the meetings before. But I approached the developer, and I was excited. I could have just sworn I heard God. You ever sworn you heard God? I heard God. God said, that's the place. Because I'd land out here at the airport from my seminars, and as I drove by here, I saw this place going up. And it said, office, warehouse, condominiums. I thought, I've never heard that. Do you live at your warehouse? I mean, what is the office warehouse condominium? And I began to check into that. It just means you buy it instead of lease it, which is a whole lot better deal. It's like you get to own a home, build equity. And so I just knew I had heard God. And corresponding faith, you know, and actions and all these things working together. So big day comes. I got my realtor and a friend of ours that is a Spirit-filled man. And we go over and we make our presentation. And he says, oh, you're going to have meetings in there. Meetings in there. I said, yes. Well, how many cars do you anticipate? Millions upon millions. I said, I don't know. I said, I really haven't thought through that. Well, you need to think through that. Parking's limited. Now, you know, we're still not connecting. He doesn't understand meetings happen at night. It's empty up here. I couldn't seem to communicate that. I tried, but he wasn't getting it. He said, no, I don't think we'd be interested in having your organization in here. I was devastated. How many of you ever moved towards something and you got devastated? I mean, my heart just sank down to the bottom of my shoes. Now, self-control. Everybody say self-control. Let me talk to you a little bit about self-control. Self-control is a whole lot more than don't get upset. Self-control, write this in your own shorthand, means you're not going to go out and try to now do it in your own power and make it happen. Again, this is somewhat difficult to describe. There is a fine line between faith actions and not going too far and being pushy. There's a fine line between you got to cooperate with God and you got to go out and look and knock on doors. And, you know, we've taught about that. See it, say it, do it. But there's a point where the Holy Ghost will just check you and say, You've done all you need to do. If you do any more, you're going to create an Ishmael and you'll miss the child of promise. You getting this?
Amen.
Temperance. Temperance, self-control. So, I want to go do it. So, just kind of admit, you know, some of my flesh here. I just knew I'd heard God on this. So, Martha and I started looking at other sites. I began to look at other warehouses for rent, for lease, buildings. I drove all over to the point that I got myself frustrated. I know y'all have never been frustrated. I was thinking so hard my brain hurt. Trying to analyze it this way, analyze it this way. Well, maybe we could do this, maybe we could do that. And I found one place that was willing to let us come in, and we were really close. Martha and I even went in there and did measurements and everything, and we had a contract drawn up. This is a lease situation. And then the thing just completely fell through, and there I was again. And I heard the Holy Spirit say, "Where did I tell you the church was going to be?" I said, "Well, you told me it was going to be over there at the place where the guy said no." So, either you hadn't talked to the guy or he hadn't listened. But I'm down here trying to work it out for you, God. And everybody ever been like that? Everybody say self-control. Again, I wish I could be scientific about this and tell you where that line is. You're going to have to feel your way through, and there'll come a point where you'll just be checked by the Spirit. You're not to do any more. You need to wait. Well, I waited. And I waited. I got to the point I did not want to drive by this property. I would land at the airport and I'd take another way home. Because every time I drove by here, I just thought like, I told Martha, you remember me saying this? I said, if I've ever heard God, I've heard God on that property. So this makes me wonder if I've ever heard God. And here I'm out teaching seminars on how to hear God. So I'm in total confusion. I backed up, looked at it, and the Holy Spirit said, "Trust me. Just wait. Have some self-control." Okay, God, I'll have some self-control. Amen. Everybody say amen. Well, one day I was minding my own business in the office, and Linda remembers so well where we used to have the offices. I was in my office, and I heard the Holy Spirit say, "It's time. Go talk to him again." Now, folks, this doesn't even compare to Mr. Pharaoh, who turned Moses down I don't know how many times. So, man, no wonder that guy's in the Hall of Fame. I get turned down once, and I'm like, I don't know if I want to go back to him or not. I called up my realtor. I said, "We're supposed to go back and talk to Ray Diodati in the office over there." And he goes, "He's a realtor. I mean, he does this for a living." He goes, "You know, I really don't want to go back to him. I mean, what part of no don't you understand?" Is it the O or is it the N? Which one's giving you a hard time? I said, "Well, maybe things have changed." And sure enough, they had changed. Make a long story short, we came over here, and it's like the light turned on his head, and he goes, "Oh, your meetings would be at night?" Yes. It was just the timing of God. It was the timing of God. We worked it out, and here we are, and there we go through that wall. Amen? And Ray came by today. We took the check for $137,000 over there. That the church has raised, and some from the radio partners. He just came over today and just said, "I want to thank you. I just want to thank you for bringing that check over and just doing things with integrity and doing things right." And I just sat there and I thought, praise God that that other contract fell through, you know, on that other place. I mean, we could have been in an Ishmael in a big hurry. Thank God for His grace. Somebody say, thank God. Now, notice on your handout there, the waiting phase also moves you from self-control to step 8, which is steadfastness. Everyone say steadfastness. And notice in the Bible, go to verse 6, it says, to knowledge or to the knowing, you got to have self-control. And to self-control, some say patience. Does anybody say perseverance? I'm curious. Perseverance, endurance, steadfastness. They all run right in the same vein. But there, look on your handout. That's number 8, steadfastness. Well, what is steadfastness? Steadfastness is keep on keeping on. Don't cast away your confidence. Go with me to Hebrews 6. You learning something? I will tell you, in the waiting phase, put a star by this one. This is where a lot of people's faith walk never really takes off. They give up too easy. I said they give up too easy. Hebrews 6, go to verses 11 and 12. We looked at this in our last session, but it bears repeating because it lines up so good with what we're talking about here. Verse 11, we desire that every one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope to the end, that should be not slothful. Well, King James just makes it sound too pretty. Slothful. Everybody say lazy.
Lazy.
Amen. Let's just get on down to it. He says, it should be not lazy, but followers of them who through faith and patience. Let me amplify that. Patience, steadfastness, perseverance, endurance. In other words, it's not enough just to have faith. You got to have faith, but during that waiting period, that's normal, more often than not the case, you've got to have that patience and look at what it'll take you to. They do what? They inherit the promises. Now, let me give you the Greek idea here. The word for all of those, patience, steadfastness, there's several words, but one of the most popular ones used in the New Testament is one called macrothumia. And it's a word that simply refers to a Roman soldier who refuses to throw his weapons down in the heat of the battle. Now, I want you to get that mental picture for the Christian. When Paul wrote this about patience, endurance, steadfastness, that word that he uses was a word used during that time to describe a Roman soldier who would not throw down his weapons in the heat of the battle. So in other words, it's one thing to march on parade, you know, and all the young maidens are waving at you, and you're waving back. Don't I look good in my uniform? It's another thing to get out on the battlefield when the hordes of hell are standing out there, and they're chanting, and you're sitting there going, Lord God, why did I join the army? Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. And your commander-in-chief's riding up and down the line saying, hold your line, hold the line. And all of a sudden, here, the hordes of hell start charging you. And they look like devils themselves. They're all hairy and just, you know, unkept. And here they come, charging you. Hold the line, hold the line. Archers, prepare. Cavalry, prepare. And you're sitting there like, I don't really want to run that way. I want to run that way. Hold the line. Don't throw your weapons down. Remember your training. Lock shields. Go forward. Archer. Here comes the fiery. Here comes the cavalry. Thank God for the cavalry. Amen. Angelic powers coming in to help you. And I'll tell you, it's frightening. It can be frightening when you're believing God for something. I described it to somebody this way. I said, you know, some of the things the Lord's had me do over the years, it's just about like walking right at a machine gun and you see the light going. And the Lord said, it won't hurt you. Walk there. Easy for you to say, God is a spirit. I am mortal. Amen. Amen. Go to chapter 10. We're about through. You getting something tonight? It's going to help you. Go to chapter 10, Hebrews 10, look at verse 35. Hebrews 10, verse 35. Cast not away. Let's say it out loud. Cast not away. Everybody say it out loud. Cast.
Not
away. It says, cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For you have need of what?
Patience.
You have need of patience, endurance, perseverance, keep on keeping on, macrothumia. You have need of that quality that that after you have done the will of God, underline it, here comes the receiving phase we'll be talking about in our last session, you might receive the promise. Praise God. Now see, Peter, and go back to the guy who wrote the text. We're exploring primarily 2 Peter chapter 1, right? Now Peter was restored back to the Lord, and we all know his testimony. But Peter could easily think back to where he did not add those qualities in his life at that moment. And that's a whole lot bigger issue than believing for a home or a car or something like that. But he is writing from experience. And the guy's writing from, you know, it wasn't just enough to walk with Jesus by the Sea of Galilee. I mean, we get too romantic. If I could only walk with Jesus by the Sea of Galilee. Yeah, you might deny him too. So it's not just walking with Jesus by the Sea of Galilee. You got to walk with Jesus now. And as you walk with Jesus now and understand these qualities and how essential they are, then you'll get over to the receiving phase. Now, anybody can receive an instantaneous miracle. Are you there? And I like instantaneous miracles. In fact, I prefer instantaneous miracles. You know, like in Benny Hinn's meetings. I mean, sometimes in his meetings or when Catherine Kuhlman was alive, people that aren't even Christians get healed. They're not sitting there going, okay, I've got to add macrothumia and I've got to do this. I mean, they're just going like, this is really different. And all of a sudden it's like, I'm healed. Praise God for instantaneous miracles. But the problem is this, when you come to Christ and you begin to develop your spiritual life and now you're growing up in the Lord, not everything's instantaneous. And so there's the need for understanding that time delay waiting phase, because I want you to write this down. This is probably one of the most important things I've said tonight. God is more interested in your character than He is getting you the goods that you desire. I want to say that again. God is more interested in your character than He is in getting you whatever miracle that you're desiring. Amen. Parents, isn't that so?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Aren't you more interested in your children developing as people than just getting them the juice they desire? Or they get older, it's not just juice. The clothing they want or the label they want. I want to bless them. But you know, it's no blessing at all if I'm buying them these things and they're spoiled and their character's not developed. It turns into a thorn. But when I see character developing, I see them growing as responsible. They're thinking for themselves. They're making right choices, right decisions. They're hanging around the right people. Then, hey, you know, hey, good. I'll get you the clothes you need, the car you need, etc. God will do that. And so we begin to see the importance of this. Look again at verse 35. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense and reward. For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. One other passage, quickly, James 1. Just hang a right. James chapter 1, and here it is again, verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy. How many of you have a little room for growth? My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse tests, trials, and difficulties. I'm amplifying there. Now, folks, I'll just have to tell you this. I've got a ways to grow. How's your day? I have had an awesome day. All hell broke loose. And you know what? It's an opportunity to trust God. Hello? No. What do we consider an awesome day? I have had an awesome day. I haven't had any responsibilities. Haven't done anything. Got to go out to eat. I'm headed to Florida for a vacation. Awesome day. So either James is sadistic, I'm making a strong point here, or he knew something we don't know. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse tests, trials, and temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith works, there's that quality again, underline it, patience, steadfastness, perseverance, endurance. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be what? Here's God's desire. God wants to make you perfect, entire, and underline it, wanting nothing. Yes, He wants to answer your desires. He wants to give you the miracles you need, but it's going to take that quality of patience. And so often the answer is in wisdom. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. So, here I'm in the waiting phase. I'm not sure what to do. Lord, I thank you for your wisdom. I thank you for showing me how to make right choices, right decisions. It's not all just, you know, angels showing up with a silver platter going, here's what you requested. It's God showing you insight, and I need to make this decision, that choice in this situation, and I need to stay away from that. And as I make the right choices, that patience and quality brings me in so I am perfect, entire, lacking nothing. Not just in the natural, lacking nothing, spirit, soul, and body. I'm putting on what's mine in the Spirit. And Lord, I pray that we would have the revelation that Peter had, that James had. Let's stand to our feet. I want you to lift your hands to God right now. And I want you to just begin to thank God for revelation knowledge flowing. Come on, this is one of the habits we do. It's one thing just to teach on it. You need to ask the Lord to engraft it into your soul. Lord, we thank you for this understanding of being more than just up here in the head. We thank you for that heart, spirit, revelation, knowledge that we know it. We know it deep inside, engrafted into us. Lord, every one of us in this room right now, we're in a waiting phase. Somewhere we're in a waiting phase. There's something we're believing for. There's something we're desiring to see happen. Lord, we thank you for self-control, and we thank you for patience, endurance, steadfastness as we go through the waiting phase. In Jesus' name. Let's worship the Lord.